I have told you this that you might have peace in me. I think those last two words are very important and necessary for us when Jesus says to have peace in me. Our peace is in Christ. And he says, take courage because he prepares us for the troubles that we will face in this world. But he's reminding us that he has conquered the world. I think we can just readily admit that when we lose our peace, it's because we look to the things of the world to give us comfort and consolation, and we take our eyes off of Jesus. And he's reminding us today that it's only in him that we can truly find our peace. And so we pray for that grace to never lose sight of that and to keep our hearts and our minds always focused on him and resting in him, and to not let the troubles of the world distract us or to take from us the peace that comes to us through Christ. And we see St. Paul's journey to Ephesus, this community that he spent 3 months in, and a community that he eventually would write one of his letters to, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, to this community that he clearly endeared himself to. And that letter to the Ephesians is a beautiful one, and it's worth a leisurely reading. It's such a full exposure of the theology of St. Paul and who Christ is, and then the role of a Christian in the different walks and stages of our life. And then he speaks so beautifully about marriage and its revelation to us of Christ's love for us. And we see something here is interesting. There's a theory in theology called gradualism. And we don't learn everything all at once. There's a gradual maturation of our faith. And we see it at work in these disciples in Ephesus. That some people who were believers, they were followers, disciples, they had come to know something about Jesus, but not completely. They had been baptized in repentance, meaning they were called to be sorry for their sins and went through some ritual washing as a sign of their repentance. But they had not yet received the fullness of the Spirit. And so we can even see and hear the beginnings of the sacrament of confirmation as being distinct from the sacrament of baptism. And through the laying on of hands, these men received the fullness of the Spirit. And they began to talk and speak in tongues and to prophesy. And I think it's going to be good for us just to, like a tangent, the parentheses, the speaking in tongues is not sometimes the babbling stuff that we hear about in the charismatic movement. But the word here is like where we get the word glossary, or we speak in tongues like the mother tongue of a nation. The same thing that happened at the first Pentecost, that these disciples who had one language were able to speak in languages that were being understood by the masses. And so they were able to preach and proclaim the truth of Jesus in understandable, discernible languages and discernible tongues, and to prophesy, to speak the truth about who God is and what he's doing in the lives of the people that they were encountering. This is the power of the Holy Spirit that we each have received through our confirmation, that we can proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ to the people that we're speaking to and help them to understand how God is living and active in their life, what God's doing in their life. And we don't have to expect people to get the fullness of the truth all at one time. It can be a slow, gradual understanding of the truth. And that as disciples, as fellow journeyers on this path, this pilgrimage, that we walk with people on their journey. St. Paul is a beautiful teacher for us in this, that we walk with people. And we gradually bring them to the truth. So maybe there are people in our lives, in our own families, that have not yet fully embraced the fullness of the truth. Let this passage from Acts of the Apostles chapter 19 inspire us to not give up, but to trust in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to bring us from who we were to who God calls us to be, and to live in the fullness of Christ in the fullness of his peace. Amen.